Okay. The first piece here, about Rosh Hashanah, it's on page Samach, he wants to explain, the Gemara says in Krisus Tavav, that it's a good thing to make signs with food on Rosh Hashanah, to eat certain foods which are signs of good decrees. So we have a list of foods, like 10 different foods. It's a play on words, usually, that the food has a certain name, and you play on the word, you get a blessing. Aside from, we made up one where one of our boys came for Rosh Hashanah once, and he created one. He said, banana is sheyibane beis hamikdash. So the Gemara made these play on words with the names of things which are Aramaic names, basically. Like there's a certain vegetable, a leek. So in Aramaic it's called karti. So they say yikoreit sonein, or our enemy should be cut off. It's a play on the word karti. And so on. So there's black peas, and in Aramaic it's called ruvia. So they say the sign should be sheyisrabu sechuyotenu, we should have merit, should increase, and so on and so forth. So that's the Gemara in Krisus Tavav. The Gemara says, eat different foods, and each food has a certain name, and you can make a play on words to get a blessing for Rosh Hashanah. So, as I said, one of the YU boys came to my house a number of years ago. He said, you should eat a banana, and we'll say, Sheyibane Beis HaMikdash, from the banana. And that fits into the list of things that the Gemara says. So we do it, actually. There was another boy who was there where we eat leeks. Leeks is Gemara's word, is karti, sheyikaret, sonenu. So he said, leeks. You shouldn't have any leeks in our houses. So anyway, you play on the word and you get a blessing. That's what the Gemara says. It's a very strange meaning. Very strange. And then, of course, the most famous of all the foods that we do eat is the apple with honey, which actually is not mentioned in the Gemara. It's not in the list of foods in the Gemara, but it became a very strong thing by the East. Do you do it too, the Iranians? Apple with honey?
I don't know if it's actually... It might be. I just don't know if it's actually something that...
From Iran, or they just picked it up when they came to America?
I have no idea. It might be. It might be something like
that. Okay. In any event, the apple with honey is widespread. Dip the apple in the honey. There's even songs that they made Rosh Hashanah.
That's why I feel like it's something we just picked up. But we have like the Iranian passages about it too.
Okay. So, apple and the honey. Okay, so it should be a sweet year. Now, Shem Bishmur wants to give us a little bit of an insight into it. So he says that there's a Ramban in the Chumash. The Ramban explains that if you go through Tanakh, Chumash and Nach, there's prophecies. Nevi'im are told by Hashem things will happen in the future. Many times, the prophet does an action to symbolize what will be in the future. Let's say Moshe is told to go to Paro, take a stick and throw it on the ground, be a snake. So in order to show Paro that there's going to be a snake, because if you don't listen, you'll be hit by the stick, and you'll be bitten by a snake. And symbolically, the action symbolizes the words. So he says like this, that the Ramban claims, and you know, Ramban is a big expert, he claims that whenever there's a prophecies in general do come true, but certain prophecies, the halacha says, they don't have to come true. So if there's a prophecy for good things, that must come true. A prophecy for bad things, for punishments, doesn't have to come true, because people can do tshuva, people could change. So bad prophecies should come true, but they don't have to come true. But he says that's only if the prophet didn't make a sign. If the prophet actually did an action to symbolize that the truth of the prophecy, even if it's bad, it will come true. Like, for example, at the beginning of Sefer Yirmiyahu, Yirmiyahu has a bunch of bad prophecies. Each of them has a sign. Like, so whatever the sign happens to be, so it says a pot, make a boiling pot, and somehow the wind will blow the steam to the north in direction. That symbolizes that from the north, Babel, the Babylonians will come and will attack Israel. So when there's a sign, Ramban says, that prophecy must come true. So the Shem Mishmur says is basically what they're trying to do here is, in heaven, there were good decrees, bad decrees, possibly. So by making a sign, doing an action, trying to clinch the good decree. Just like, obviously we don't have the power of a prophet, but Jews have power, spiritual power, so if we do an action, we give the good side more power. That's what he says. He gets into a whole discussion here of why we do this at night. Basically, the main minhag to do these signs with the foods is at night, not during the day. Rosh Hashanah night is when we do the signs, basically. That's the main minhag. There's even a whole question in the minhag, is it only the first night or the first night and the second night? I happen to do it the second night. Most people just do it the first night. But I do it the second night because I feel, you know, the second chance to make the year a good year, so do it the second night also. But anyway, it's only really at night rather than by day. So he said, why is this thing at night? By day also, God is judging the world, so we could try to get a good decree by day. So he says that the answer is because by day we're blowing the shofar and we're davening, so we're doing the real straight, far more powerful efforts to get a good decree. We're davening and praying and blowing a shofar. Don't have to try to create this thing with signs, which is some kind of mystical thing. You know, you go straight, power of prayer, power of doing the mitzvah of the shofar. At night, you don't have the shofar. And really, and the prayers at night are also limited and not extensive. So without the shofar, that's why we try to bring in the signs. But he asked now another question that apparently it's brought down in the Gemara and also in the Zohar that really the judgment, Hashem is judging the world and making decisions for the year, that takes place during the daytime. Because a Beis Din, the rulers in Halacha, that a Beis Din only has daytime hours. The Beis Din is not supposed to sit. There's no Jewish court at night. All Jewish courts are daytime sessions. There's no night sessions. There's no such thing as a night court in Halacha. Halacha says, ain't done in Balayla. That could be some mystical idea because night is din, is harsh judgments, and the Beis Din, we don't want the Beis Din to be under the influence of the night, which is harsh. Day is chesed, so day is kindness. It's chesed of Hashem is much more obvious in the day, so the Beis Din should sit during the day. That's the basic halacha. So we also have a rule that the Gemara says that the way the halacha determines things in this world, we can assume that in the heaven, the same rules apply. the halacha of Olam Hazeh is the same halacha in Shemayim, in heaven. So if there's a court in heaven which is sitting in judgment to decide what's going to happen, let's say, the whole year, they're only going to sit during the day of Rosh Hashanah, not at the night. The night of Rosh Hashanah, there's no judgment. The truth is that as you experience Rosh Hashanah, you realize a very great paradox going on. That at night, it's a very relaxed holiday atmosphere. Beautiful meal, everybody's in a good mood. And it's like a Yom Tov, it's a regular Yom Tov, so to speak, like Shavuos. Start the day, all of a sudden, the whole mood changes into a lot of angst, a lot of tension, stress. We're worrying about the year, what's going to be. We're praying very, very strongly, fervently, blowing a shofar. It's been a long time in shul. So the whole thing changes. It's a very strange thing. So what he says is like this. He says a very interesting point, which I think does explain it. He quotes here a Zohar. The Zohar says like this. The Zohar says that Rosh Hashanah is a repeat of the creation of the world. We say that, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Harat Olam, part of the prayers we say today, the world was created. So the first day of creation was the first day of Tishrei, way back 5,777 years ago was the first day of the world, Tishrei. And every year we commemorate the creation. But really, he says, as the Zohar says, really every year new energy of recreation comes. But what happens is, as we say also, we say that it's up in the air. When you go to Rosh Hashanah, God will decide the world will continue, or God forbid, the world will be destroyed. So basically, the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is to recreate, so the same energy of creation which created the world at the beginning comes back to get the world going for another year. Now, that original energy creation is which of the energies did God use to create the world, according to the Zohar and the Kabbalah? He used the energy of Chesed, because it says, Chesed Olam Yibana, the world is created with Chesed, with kindness. So it was a great kindness, beneficence that Hashem used to give everybody and everything in existence. So it was Chesed is the core of creation. Now the din comes in second. In order for creation to be maintained, it has to have law and order, rules of nature, so it keeps on functioning. But the initial, the initial Big Bang, the initial coming into existence was an act of Chesed, and then the laws of nature kicked in, and din comes in to make the world function. Same with people. A baby's born, tremendous Chesed. The baby comes out alive and healthy. It's a wonderful act of God's generosity. But then you have to raise that baby, and the baby has to learn what's right and what's wrong, the do's and the don'ts, otherwise it will turn into a wild animal, so it has to be civilized. So then the creation is Chesed. Then the din, the laws and judgments and regulations, this comes in to keep it going. Once that creation is done, you need din to maintain it and to make it function properly. So Rosh Hashanah, she said like this, every year, basically, there's a tremendous energy of Chesed, Shemayim, in heaven, to recreate the world. I mean, look at all this big world, so much goodness, so much blessing, that everything exists. So That's coming back, but there's a big problem. The problem is that there's a track record of people before. See, the initial creation never had people, so God could do it. There was nothing blocking the chesed from creating the world. But today, every Rosh Hashanah, yes, there's a tremendous amount of chesed, which is wanting to come into the world to give it another boost, another injection of existence for another year. But the problem is that all the wickedness and all the terrible things that people have done till now is blocking it, because the din, the laws and regulations say that if, you know, the world was not created for people to be wicked, the world was created for people to be good. People took this creation and mismanaged it, so then din says that's it, we shouldn't continue it anymore. That's the big problem of Rosh Hashanah. The big problem is that there's a track record of the Rishayim, of the wicked people, which is blocking the chesed from coming in. So really like this, so what, there's a paradox. He says that this paradox that we feel in Rosh Hashanah, this paradox is really a real paradox, because there's an energy in heaven to do tremendous blessing, to recreate the world from almost from scratch. Meanwhile, there's a counterforce of justice which is blocking that. So that's during the day. During the day, he claims like this, that during the day when things really happen. So the two forces are struggling. The force to continue the world, the force to discontinue the world. The force to give blessing, the force to give punishment. The struggle during the day. So we get involved, we people, by blowing the shofar, and by davening, we're trying to get the positive blessing force to defeat the negative judgment, punishment force. So that's the struggle of Rosh Hashanah. So we feel very tense about it, and we're very very intense about doing it. But at night, so I guess he says night is, he says like this, he says that in general, if the day is the time of action, the night is the time of planning what I'm going to do during the day. So in heaven, they're planning for the year at night. And by day, they're opening up the Beis Din in heaven to decide really what to do. But the plans are being laid at night. So the basic plan at night is chesed. At night, the chesed is very strong, he says, in the planning of the year. Even though usually you think that night is judgment. But in this case, because he says like this, at night, you're going to the core reason for the world. The core reason for the world is chesed. So at night, heaven is more involved with the core function, or the core focus of reality, just to do good things. So at night, really, the power to bring the blessing is very strong, but it's not been released into the real world, because the real world has to wait for day to open it up and to get it, make things happen. But at night, that force is very strong. So that's why he says we try to plug in. It's like we're trying to shortcut, he says. Trying to shortcut the process of Rosh Hashanah, the judgment of the day, which is a struggle and requires a lot of effort on our part to get it to go good. we try to shortcut it at night by plugging into the powerful force of goodness, which is sitting there in potential. At night, we can shortcut the day process and somehow spring that night force. He calls it the pneumius, the inside, the inner force. So as the day, you're dealing with the external forces as they express themselves. At night, you're dealing with the inner force, the pneumius. We can get into the pneumius. We can sort of get the din sealed at night. In the potential, we already get the judge, Hashem, and whoever else is involved, to say, you know what, we already decide. We'll start present in the morning, open up. We already decided at night that this is not a case. We're going to open up the court, and the first second we'll say, innocent, innocent. The world goes on, blessing. We'll let the blessings come. There's a way to do it. This is what we're trying to do at night. That's why we have all these signs of blessing. Trying to get the blessing without having to go through the judgment of the court. Okay, this is the Torah that Shem Shmuel says. It's a very typical Hasidic idea. I wanted to make a few comments about the Hasidus has a very strong theme about the inner and the external, outer. That the Hasidus, with the Zohar, tries to get us to focus on inner reality. We people are completely focused on the outer reality that we're in. The five senses, you know, are external reality. The inner reality is something people have a challenge to connect to. The Zohar and the Hasidus pushes very strongly to get to the inner reality. So, and that is a secondary claim of their sheet, of their theory, is that at the core of the inner reality, it's only goodness. You don't have to worry about judgments or punishments, because at the core of the inner reality, it was only good. Otherwise, God wouldn't have created such a magnificent universe. He created it. It had to be that at the core there was nothing blocking it. He was able to create such a universe without any opposition, because at that core inner reality there's only goodness. So they want us to always try to seek that core of pure goodness. So that's basically their fundamental theory. And it has many, many manifestations of this theory, many manifestations of it. One of which is that you really the goal is not to be tense at all, because tension is from the outer reality. At the inner reality, there's no tension at all. So they like very much to try to say, have simcha, not to have tension. And they say, but if you get to the inner reality, the core of the inner reality, you'll be at peace. To bring that out, it says it's there. They also have this claim that the man or woman is a mini universe. So whatever is true about the whole universe is true within the person themselves and their personality. That's also a Zohar, that every human being is. The Gemara says it too. Every person is an Olam Katan, there's a mini universe. So, just like at the real universe, the inner core of the real universe is pure goodness and generosity and blessing, at the core of every person is also goodness, blessing, holiness. And the goal, according to them, the main goal of life is to try to get as much as possible toward that inner core, to find it and to latch on to it. So, anyway, that fundamental Hasidic theory of the outer versus the inner is the pshat here, the simanim. So basically what he's saying is that by, this is also saying by eating these simanim, which are external, you're basically trying to reach the internal. By doing these external signs, you're trying to get yourself connected to the inner world. And that inner world is just goodness, so the signs will work. These signs work, there's no struggle. That's what, you know, it's very peculiar. The people like us, we do it. We do the signs at night and then we dive in the bloodshed for the day. It's a very strange thing at night. It's simple things. You eat a banana, you eat an apple with honey, so you get a good year. It's very easy. But the day is a very hard, long davening. You start at 7 o'clock, you finish at 2 o'clock. You're praying, he's crying, pleading, blowing a shofar 100 times. It's a lot of hard work. So because the two different realities that you're focusing on at night is the inner reality, that's it. You can get to that, you can discover it, then the answer is very easy. Unfortunately, there's a day. By the day, we're living in this real world, in the outer reality, and we have to try to fix the world on the outside. It's a lot of work. You can't just fix the world by eating a banana. You have to do a lot of work. So the outer reality of the day is the way we have the big struggle. It's an interesting, very interesting piece that he has here. This discussion of Rosh Hashanah. Okay, Shkayach.